I'm going to read you what I wrote down as a title, but it's not the message. I was inspired with the thought of the vision of the redeemed, or the inhabitants of heaven. That's where my thoughts began. And my thoughts then turned to the word of the Lord as a foundation for those thoughts, and I never made it there. I don't think I've ever stood before you with only the word of God. And this song that we just sang, it said, "My hope is born of God's own word." We can hope in many things, but our hope in His word is steadfast and sure. The word of the Lord is so precious and valuable. It never grows old. It is forever new. We can read it over and over and over, and it may be called the old story, but it is new every day. And when we read the word, and it speaks about His mercy being new every morning and His compassions that fail not, we never get tired of even saying that. And in the morning, if you and I are allowed to awaken in the morning, that same word will be new. Thank the Lord. So I don't know exactly where the Lord is going to take this. I am really depending on the Lord. But I wrote this down. I said, I want to speak first of the power of the word. And I never got back to the other thoughts. The word became bigger and bigger, and there, I don't think there's any way that we can exhaust the wonderful words of life. I don't think we can. But I'm going to ask that you bear with me and that we look into the word. I only have some scriptures. I'm going to begin with the first chapter of John that is very familiar to us, but I think we cannot really think of the word without thinking of what the word represents. And the first chapter of John is just so plain about the word and who it represents. And it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And that word is capitalized. It means it's a person. It's not just a common noun. It represented the name of somebody. And of course, we know who that somebody is. It said, "The same was in the beginning with God." That means the Word, which was Christ, was from the beginning. He was with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life. Oh, I like this. How many times have we read this? We could probably even each one quote by heart, by memory, most of this passage. But we read it and our hearts are just thrilled with the word speaking of Him. Oh, let us never come to the place that we get tired of the word, or we even become complacent with who the word is and what He is. And Jesus has been so good to me. Let's not get tired of that song. Oh, we may even think the tune is monotonous. I've thought that. But the words of that song mean something. And it speaks to us. And this says, "Everything that was made was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, we're in darkness still. Our whole world is in darkness still. And I remember distinctly a number of years ago being down praying, not thinking of Christmas at all. And the Lord suddenly said two words to me, order and allow. And in those two words, he just began to open up what he has ordered and what he has allowed. And I think of, I never really saw that God was ordering Christmas to allow his light to be shining in the midst of darkness. But that's what he revealed. He has a way of ordering his light to penetrate the darkness for those that are willing to embrace the light and accept it, and they will find salvation. It's as simple as that. We might look on Christmas and even not take part in a lot. We shouldn't take part in everything about Christmas. There's too much of it that is involved in paganism, but God allowed it, and then he ordered the birth of his son to be manifested in the midst of darkness. And the darkness doesn't always comprehend it, but you and I that are of light, we can comprehend it, and we can receive it, and we can see the goodness of the Lord in allowing it. For the first time in my life, I was able to say, thank you, Lord, for all of the Christmas carols that go over the airwaves. There's a message in those places if we will hear it. And if the world will hear it, that ray of light will shine in the midst of darkness. God is good. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he allowed his son, the birth of his son, to be manifested in that way throughout the world. I don't believe there'll be anyone that has any knowledge at all of the birth of Christ and it being represented at Christmas. They will not be able to come before God and say, I didn't know of the birth of your son. But they will have had a glimpse. And we skip on down to verse 14, and it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The writer here beheld his glory. It says we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Another place it speaks about the writer having handled the word of life or touching him. The disciples, they had that great privilege of touching him, knowing him personally, speaking with him. What a privilege that would have been. But we have the same privilege in this time. He hasn't departed from us and left us without hope. He has sent his word. And we may not be able to, as we said to the little children this morning, because the first thing we want to encourage children is to learn how to pray, and God hears prayer. And I give them this little verse. It's a little verse. I think it's in Job. Pray to God and he will hear you. Simple little verse. And little children can get a hold of that. But we have to tell them, well, can we see God? No, we cannot see him. We cannot feel him and touch him. But he's real. He is here. He is in our midst. The very presence of God is here. God is a spirit. And if you worship him, you're going to have to do it in spirit. And what else? In truth. He will not accept worship that is less than truth. So this morning, we thank the Lord for his word. We thank the Lord for the promises of God, that not one word will fall to the ground. Do you believe that? Doesn't the word say that? His word is forever established. And not one, the scripture says in one place, not one jot or tittle or little dot, not one thing from his word will fail as long as there is time and we're headed to eternity. Not, it doesn't matter which generation it happens to end with, the word of the Lord will still be there. It will still be have the same power. Thank the Lord. So Christ is called the Word. And the Word giveth life. A scripture in the New Testament, I didn't write it down, I just wrote what the word of it said. It said the gospel of Christ, and I'm going to say the word of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. But it's only for certain ones. Is God a prejudiced God? Is he fair? He's fair. When I said that it is for only certain ones, it will be for those that will believe. And you and I must believe. That he is, and who he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's his word. And we can stand on his word, but we must believe. And sometimes believing is hard. Because of our humanity, and we are affected by things we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and feel, feelings can be fickle. Remember that. Because you and I are not supposed to walk by feelings. We're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. We are to believe his word and believe what he has sent to us, that it is the power of my salvation. And if I will believe, he will save me to the uttermost. Thank the Lord. He has that power. Another scripture, which I didn't write down where it was, it just was coming to me this morning, about the word. The word is quick and powerful. Quick means effective, alive. The word of the Lord is not going to die. It's not going to lose its effectiveness in all of this world. Let's believe that. Let's trust in it. So the word of God is quick and powerful. And it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of the Lord can do more than what we can even believe sometimes. It says it can divide the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And that's a very close place. My soul and my spirit are almost the same thing. But the word of the Lord can slice right through that and determine either one. It says it's, and then this is why it does that. Because it's a discerner of my thoughts and the intentions of my heart. It's a discerner of It knows what I'm thinking. And though I may present it in a way that might not be what my intentions are, the Spirit and the Word can determine the intentions over what I'm saying if it's not my intentions. That's not a bad thing. I believe God is calling for His people to have an honest heart before Him and know that He has this ability to discern my thoughts and my intentions and to live accordingly and to go before the Lord in my prayers in the daytime and say, and the night, Lord, give me an honest heart. Help me to be honest with myself. The scripture tells us that the heart, and I really don't like this scripture, but I know what it means. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart can deceive me. It is so important that God help you and me to be honest with ourselves and not believe a lie about ourselves. Oh, it's so important. Pray that way. Seek the Lord that way. I seek the Lord that way every day. Lord, help me to be honest with myself. So the word of the Lord is, it's very powerful, and it will divide between these things, and it will expose the truth of myself to me. That's so important. John 6 and 63 it speaks about His word. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, now this is a common noun, so it's what is spoken. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So you and I are so blessed to have the Word of God printed. There was a high price paid that you and I would be so privileged to read the Word of God. There were those who literally gave their lives for the Word of God, and they didn't have all that we have. They had a portion, and they hung on to it. And they protected it. And there are stories that have been told down through the ages of time of that period of time when there was persecution for those that held on to the Word of God. There was once a woman that was baking bread, and I think she only had a few pages of the Bible. But the soldiers were coming, and she knew what they were going to be looking for. And she took those pages and pushed them down into the dough. And it preserved those few pages. And there were other people that had ways of preserving the word, and it passed on to other generations. But some people literally shed their blood. There was a family that taught their children well from the Word of God. And the children grew up understanding how precious it was and that they could give their lives for it. And they had a footstool that had a hidden compartment in the bottom. And if while they were all gathered together and reading the Word, a knock should come on the door, they understood, children understood where to put the word to preserve it. And it was not found. But others, the word was discovered. And as they arrested the people and they tried to destroy the word. And they took it and tore it apart and pushed it out into the wind. And the wind took it. And maybe someone else found one page of the word and it was life. Oh, the word. Value it for yourself. Take time for the word. We're going to read some things about eating it. I remember another story about and I think I've told this here. I love these stories. There was a man that felt a burden to go to a tribe in Africa. And when he finally got there, they had already heard of Jesus. And he said, "How did you know?" And they had been to the trading post or whatever to get some supplies. And some of their supplies was wrapped in one page of the word. And in that one page, and I have no idea what page it was out of the Bible, but it was their salvation. He ministered to them, but God is faithful. I was talking, Lauren and I were talking with this brother Nikolai from Russia, and I just happened to say, how did you get saved? And oh, it was a precious testimony. He's been saved only 4 years. Someone from Russia. And he started telling us how God dealt with him, and my soul was thrilled. I said, "Lord, if you can deal with someone in Russia, you don't need my English." Oh, I'm so sorry for the language barriers. But there are no language barriers with God. He can deal with a soul. He knows how. He knows their language. And he even knows their dialect. He knows what will touch their hearts. And I want to tell you something. He knows what will touch your heart. He knows what will touch my heart. We have to let him touch us. We have to let the word of God touch us. So this part tells us that his words speak to us, and they are spirit, and they are life. Going back to John, the first chapter, and look at verse 12. And it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Do you claim to be the son of God? A child of God? It sounds like a high calling. What about a saint of God? It almost sounds too high, doesn't it? It is a high calling to be a son of God, to be a child of God, to be called a saint of God. But don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of calling the saints. In the world, they will look on that and probably think you're talking of someone that's already passed and dead. These are alive. These are the people, the redeemed of the earth. These are the inhabitants of heaven. Oh, I hope that you will get a vision of the redeemed and also of the inhabitants of heaven. We know sin will never enter there. The songs tell us this. The word of the Lord tells us. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin will never enter there. That's why we have a lifetime to prepare that we may go there. that we may know him face to face. If there is sin in our life, we cannot face him. He cannot look upon sin. He will not receive us. In Pilgrim's Progress, in this second part of it with Christiana, no, I believe that's not right. I believe it is with Pilgrim's, with Christian. Yes, as they were approaching the time of crossing over, they came upon a man, and his name was Ignorance. Do you remember him? And Ignorance did not come through the wicket gate. He did not get a certificate. A certificate was what had to prove his worthiness of heaven. And it had to be handed in at the end. He crawled over the wall. He came up another way. And the scripture tells us about people like that. Well, he began to talk with them, and his heart told him he was all right. See how you cannot trust your heart? And as it came down to the end, and Christian and Hopeful was there, and their names was in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they had their certificate, and they had the robe, and then came Ignorance. And began to call out and knock. And they could not find his name in the book. And so they said, "We do not know you." And he says, "But my heart told me so." And the commandment was to bind him hand and foot. And beside the door to heaven was also a door to hell. There's going to be so many people believe they're okay and they have not gone through the steps that are required of God. Yes. And they opened that door and cast him into the pit. That's a fearful thing. But God has made a way for people to be saved and ready and have a certificate and have on their white robes. He has a way. So he has given you and me the power to become the sons of God, and we don't need to be ashamed of it. Well, we looked into the word over in Psalms. Oh, there's so much about the word in Psalms. Psalms 107 and 20. It says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Oftentimes we just get past the word healing them. He sent his word and healed them, and I believe that. I believe that God sends his word and there's healing in his word. I believe that. But what about deliverance? Let's not forget the deliverance. You and I, as weak worms of the earth, we come in places even after we're saved and after we're sanctified, and we come to him and we need some more deliverance. We need victories. It is through his word. And he will deliver you and me from our destructions. Don't you know the enemy has a plan for you? Doesn't matter if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He still has his sight set on you. And we know what the Word says. That he has a purpose to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his purpose for you. And so he plans a road of destruction. He wants you to fall into the trap. But the word says he will come and deliver us from our destructions. I like that. The word says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever needed a light to shine the way for your feet? Have you ever felt that you were walking down a path and could not tell where to set your foot? That it's dark? We're going to have places like that. But by faith, we can claim the word to shine light on our path. It can be a lamp. Another scripture says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Do you ask for the light? Or do you think, oh, I've got enough light? I never have enough light. I never have enough understanding. I don't know if any really remember, but it has left an impression on me. The message that we preached here some time ago on the four different kinds of soil. Never had really seen it before. We emphasized more of the good soil. To have a good soil, they had to have honest. And they had to have knowledge. Those two things, being honest with yourself and seeking for the knowledge of God, is so important, because those were the two things that the three other soils did not have. They saw it, but they rejected it. They saw the knowledge, they understood the light, but they rejected it. Love the light. Love the knowledge of God. Don't ever get so full that you think you can't learn something else. He wants to reveal himself to us. I remember hearing this. There was a preacher one time years ago, and he's been dead a long time, but he felt like that he was completely preached out. That he had preached everything there was to preach, and the Lord spoke to him and said, I have thousands of messages I haven't even given. You can probably get on Church of God preaching and you will find numerous messages on a certain topic. And if you listen to every one of them in that particular topic, you would find there would be something that would give you light and knowledge because of the direction it might be given, or the presentation might be just a little bit different. So God never gets tired of sending forth his word to feed us, to strengthen us, to establish us, to settle us. He has a purpose. His word is what we need. And he wants us to eat it. And he wants the word to enter into us. And it says it giveth light and it giveth understanding. And another one says the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And then it says reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Don't you know that God has to correct us? And it doesn't matter how long we live for the Lord in our humanity. We as parents, you know how you have to stay on top of it with your children. You don't let it slip by, it'll become harder the next time. If I don't correct this child right now, if I let this slip, then the next time it will be a harder correction. That's our God. He even likens it to a father that corrects his children. And so the scripture says, reproofs of correction are the way of life. His word knows how to correct us. And it is important that you and I come before the Lord with a heart that wants correction. If we submit our way and our will unto the Lord and we say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there is a wicked way in me, and you give him that permission, don't be afraid to say, Lord, try me. Many of you have heard me testify like this different times down through the years. But there came a time, Monarch was always like my new year. It's like I got revived at Monarch till the next Monarch. But that particular year, I did not get it. And I went home with a burden on my heart because I did not feel revived. And I was down praying one day about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, try me. He wanted me to say it, and I said those words, and as soon as I said them, a chill went over my body, and I knew I was asking for something hard. But as time went on, I felt more comfortable, and I felt that the Lord was pleased with me to continue to say those words. Lord, try me. See if there is a wicked way in me. And I knew when the trying started. And I said to myself, I can bear this. The Lord is just going to give me a little trial. But it wasn't that way. I was under that trial for 3 years. If you would have told me at the beginning it would have lasted that long, I could not have borne it. God does that for you and me. He doesn't let us see the end of a thing. He only lets us see the beginning. And as we follow on, we'll come to the end. In that trial, I was put to a great test. And for 3 months, every day, I was tested and tried to step across a line. In my mind, I could see a line. It wasn't that I wanted to go to the world, but the thought was there, if you step across this line, that's all you have to do, is step across this line, you will never have to preach again. I was so afraid to step across that line. I was afraid I could not get back. I wept bitter tears every day with this strong temptation. It was like a magnet. And then one day, the Lord caused me to turn, and I saw a city set on a hill. And even then, I turned and looked back at that line one more time. But he drew me away from it, and I was able to run for my life. And he delivered me. Much good came from this trial. I would not go back and say, I don't want it. From that point on, I am not afraid to say, Lord, try me. See if there is a wicked way in me. Correct me. He is faithful. He is a God that wants his children to make heaven. Well, I'm going to have to skip on down. There's many verses that tells us that the saints loves the word of God. I would like to read them all, but I'm going to give you the challenge. You look up about how the people of God loves the word of God. Love his word. Oh, let it be in your heart. He says that we will hide our words in his heart that we might not do what? That we might not sin against God. His word will keep us. Let it be real in our hearts. Well, let's go to Jeremiah 15 and 16 and quickly read some of these passages that has really spoken to me. Jeremiah 15 And verse 16. We'll start with verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And then look at verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Oh, whatever we're going through, whatever problem we're in, whatever affliction, whatever trial, whatever God allows. I said to the two little girls this morning, I said, can we thank God for the good things? We can. It's easy to thank God for the good things. And then I said to them, can we thank God for the bad things? And they both just stopped and looked at me. Can we thank God for the bad things? We must. And then I said, I gave them, little girls, I know they may not fully understand, but you know, when we speak these things, we're trusting that in their subconscious mind, something has been planted there that the Lord can use another time. And so I told them in a little child's way, the best way I knew how, that everything God allows in our life, good and bad, it will work for us. So we can thank Him. We can say, thank you, God, for the bad things that come into my life, because I know you're going to turn it for my good. And so the words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't this precious? You can have joy and rejoicing by eating the word of God. Now let's go to Revelations, the 10th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. And it says, I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. What do you think that means? Here I am telling you the joy and the praise of the Word of God and the great value of the Word of God, and now we find out it's bitter. The next verse says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. Have you found the word of the Lord to be sweet as honey when you read it? Do you know what makes it bitter? It's when it's digested. When it's applied and put into your life, and you begin to obey it, and you begin to come to the contest of it, you may say, oh, that's bitter. But remember the sweetness of the taste when you found it in your mouth. Deuteronomy 11 and 18. Some instructions here. Verse 18. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. That's what the Lord wants His word to do. He wants us to be able to hold on to the word, that we're not looking to the left hand and to the right hand. And we're not willing to look back. we're willing to look forward. And he will lead us in a forward way. So we must lay these things up in our heart and bind them upon our hand. And then Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and we're almost finished. And verse 11 through 14, and I love this part. I have used this part for myself different times. And it says, this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Have you ever felt like that the word of the Lord is somewhat hidden? We must ask for it. We must seek for it. We must say, Lord, show me. Reveal yourself unto me. And then it says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Listen, the word of the Lord is not far off. It's not up in heaven. You don't have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, send me your word. Send someone to reveal your word. And it says, neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? It's not like that either. The word of the Lord, it says, is very nigh unto thee. It is in thy mouth and in thine heart, and thou mayest do it. Oh, I thank the Lord that he doesn't hide it from us. He reveals it to us. He opens it up to us. It's not far away. You just have to seek for it. You have to search for it. What does the word say? To search the word. And our final scripture is in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 16. And it says, Lent, the word of Christ. What does this word Lent mean? Allow it. Allow the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, in all teaching, in all admonishing one another. What do we admonish each other with? Our own words? Or do we do it with the word of God? It says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But let the word, allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. That's our little thoughts. I am only trusting that the Lord will bless his word to each of us today. This song came to my mind, Wonderful Words of Life. Maybe we could just sing that in closing, and I won't take the time to read it. May you each one be hungry for the word. Amen.